Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
We had the most awesome Christmas Eve here. It was standing room only, and we just partied. Did any of you enjoy the mistletoe on your way out? Now, come on. I had them hang mistletoe, because what's Christmas without mistletoe? And when I announced it at the Christmas Eve service, people looked shell-shocked. I have to tell you something. I wasn't raised in Pentecostal assemblies. That's my excuse. I was raised in an independent, charismatic church. And you know what? At 15 years old, I was praying for legs, and they were growing. And at 16 years old, I was prophesying. And I've watched those prophecies come true. And at 17 years old, we were in revival. I've been through 3 revivals in my lifetime. They're incredible. They're exhausting, but they're incredible. And so, you know, there's some things. I just wasn't raised Pentecostal assemblies. And so sometimes I do things a little bit different. And so if you were raised Pentecostal assemblies, I apologize. No, not really. I just want you to know that I love being free in the Lord. Does anybody else like being free in the Lord? I love it. I do not think God called us to be a bunch of sour lemons. I think God called us to be a people of joy. Now, in my lifetime, and I won't get into it, I'm not even in my sermon yet, but I have an incredible, some people call it rich, I wish it wasn't, but I have an incredible death history. When I was 12 years old, my best girlfriend died of leukemia. When I was 31, my younger brother died of brain cancer. In my 40s, I got a phone call that my mother had taken a heart attack. The medication they gave her caused a massive brain hemorrhage. And so she was brain dead for 2.5 weeks. God gave her back to us. And we had her for 16 years, but it was not the woman that raised me. During her recovery time, my father fell ill, was given 8 months to live. There wasn't a square inch of his body that wasn't full of cancer. And so I had a brain-damaged mom, and I had a father who then was paralyzed from the waist down in a wheelchair. And I'll never forget leaving them one time and the two of them sitting holding hands. Dad said, "Don't cry." I said, "How can I not?" 2 pathetic little souls. He was a pastor. He was known for his healing ministry. And here's my brain-damaged mom. And my paralyzed father. And he was in a hospital for 18 months, a nursing home. And every morning he would get up and go room to room and lead people to Jesus. He called me one day. He said, "Honey, I don't think the Lord's very happy with me." I said, "Why, Dad?" "I couldn't bring anybody to him this week." I said, "Oh my gosh, Dad." He passed first. We had Mom for another 14 years. I don't know why I'm telling you this, but maybe it comes in with my sermon. Our son fell into some serious emotional problems. And all in 1 year, my mother was brain dead, our son fell into emotional problems, my father had cancer, and Anton was the vice president of Dairyland Milk, and the business was sold, and his job was up for grabs. And I found in that, and then on top of that, I was pastor to women and new believers in CLA, and I would go into the office at 9, and I'd be counseling straight till 7 o'clock at night and planning big events, and I collapsed. I totally burnt out. Oh, I'd had major surgery in that year as well. And I totally burnt out. And I remember driving down the road from Abbotsford to Langley at one point thinking, God, if I speed this car up and run into the ditch, it'll look like an accident. Anton and the boys will be better off without me. And can I say that word that some people consider a swear word, but it's not in this context? In that 2, 3, 4 years, all hell broke loose in our world. And it took me 4 years. For the first 6 months, Anton would take me into the church just to hear our pastor preach and get me out, because if even one person said, "Hi, Pastor Ann," I couldn't handle it. But here's the thing, and this is not my sermon. You're getting this for free. This is not my sermon. Here's the thing. God kept us in and through and out of that. And today, when I say we are people of joy, we are people of joy. Because you see, God never left us. I was at one point, I might even preach my sermon, I'm on a roll here. But at one point, I was sitting in the living room, Anton was at work, the boys were at school. I had enough energy to clear the dishwasher. I did not have enough energy to put the dirty dishes in. Can I tell you, and men, I love you, you have to know, I have only brothers and only sons, so men, this is not a slap against you, but this is just an observation. Can I tell you the longest distance for any man? Now, men, you know I love you. Thank you. The longest distance for any man is from the top of the countertop into the dishwasher. I know. I had 4 of them in my home. Honey, I love you so dearly. That is the longest distance from the top of the countertop into the dishwasher. That day, I got the dishwasher emptied, but I went and sat down, and let me tell you the love of God that took me through. I opened my Bible, and it fell open to Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 8. It said, "Come away, my beloved. The winter is over. The spring flowers are in bloom." And that day, and one other day, when I just went home and sat on his lap, and he said nothing and held me forever, and finally said, "Honey, whatever it takes, we're going to get through this." Those 2 days is when God said, "Listen, my beloved, you've been through the winter time, the dark night of your soul, but I'm bringing you out, and you are going to have such victory and such glory and such joy. Nobody's going to touch you again." That's who our God is. And so I believed before, and I believe now, that we should be people of joy. That's why I hung mistletoe. Out there, because people of joy. Are you happy this morning? Amen. Amen. Stand with me, will you, for just a minute? I'm going to preach eventually, but you know, it can be a long time if you're sitting all that time. And honey, if I could have a drink of water, I'm dry. But see, God fights our battles. Is it up there? Good. I learned today that it's still on widescreen, so I'll fix that for the next time I'm back. We have a widescreen in Nanaimo. It's a theater screen, so all my slides are widescreen, and they're like in your face. Whoop! But here, you're the normal size screen. But I want to talk to you today about the God who fights our battles. Because we're going into a new year, church. Is that good? Woo! 2020. I remember the year 1999. Do you remember when we were all concerned? That's a joke, eh? Was that a joke or was that a joke? But we're going into a new year. Look at each other and say, "God fights your battle." Come on, just God fights your battle. God fights your battle. Come on, let's get going here. God fights our battles. Well, I got off on a tangent there that I didn't mean to, but I have a feeling somebody needed to hear that this morning. Let's just work with the Holy Spirit. I said to you a while back, as long as I'm around, if the Holy Spirit wants to do something, he's in charge. I'm not. Thank you, honey. Just close your eyes for a minute. There's at least one person here this morning. God never has me say something for no reason. There's at least one person here this morning. And you've been through Christmas and done all the stuff, but on the inside you're empty. And there are times when you just rather stay home than be in all the hoopla. But God is speaking to you this morning. Hear me now. And God is speaking to you the very same thing he spoke to me, lo, those many years ago. Come away, my beloved. The winter winds are gone, and the spring flowers are in bloom. If that's you, with every eye closed, would you just raise your hand? Sometimes I can see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. My goodness, Jesus. See the sweetness of his presence. 7. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, the sweetness of his presence. Now, Father, for those who needed to hear part of our story this morning, I thank you. That wasn't planned. That wasn't even in my mind. But Holy Spirit, you knew that some needed to hear this morning, with a new year approaching, that their winter season is over. Lord, their dark night of the soul, in the name of Jesus, we declare it as a church family, is over. And begin to speak healing to them right now in Jesus' name. Right now in the name of Jesus. They begin to breathe in of your spirit, Lord Jesus. They begin to breathe in of your strength and their dark night. I declare it over. Father, I thank you. For me, it was a gradual healing. And it may be gradual for them, it may be immediate. I really don't know. It's none of my business. You are God. We are not. But in the spirit, listen, it's over. In Jesus' name. Church, say a loud amen for them. Amen. 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 All right, now I'll start to preach and you can sit down. So we had this great Christmas Eve service, and the one thing that we didn't do, because we're having fun, maybe we did, was we lit that last candle. And I'm going to let that burn today. That last candle represents the birth of Jesus Christ. And as I prayed earlier this morning, he was born as a baby, but he's now a risen king. And I love our risen king. Praise God. So we are ready to go this morning and talk about the God who fights our battles. We're going into a new year. We're very excited. When we get back in the new year, we're going to start a new series called Acts in Action. I spent a few weeks trying to find some kind of a pithy title. You know, the 30-year-olds are great at finding these great titles. And I'm 30 years old plus. And so I spent a few weeks trying to find a really pithy title for this. But all I could come up with is Acting in Acts, or Acts in Action, or Acting Out of Acts, or it just wasn't working for me. So we are going to go into a series called Acts in Action. When I have been in the office, I often see your family values there. I don't know if you've noticed them. I think it happened under Pastor Mike Bedell when he was with you. Your family values, we're talking about the values of Comox Pentecostal Church, are phenomenal. They are phenomenal. And I don't know how often they're rehearsed with you, but when I read through these family values, I thought, oh my gosh, that's the book of Acts. And so Pastor Trevor is going to start us out on January 12th. Trev, I'm proud of you. I'm going to be praying for you, whooping it up for you in the Lord. He's going to start you out on January the 12th on our new series, Acts in Action. And we're going to actually look at your family values. So if you have them, take a look at them, because they're phenomenal. And they really are the book of Acts. I think that Pastor Mike Bedell cheated and he went looking at the book of Acts, and that's where he got them from. And but he's a good man. I love Mike. And so you're going to enjoy this series, because we are going to see what God can do through a body when they're operating together and they're operating according to the power and the will of God. Amen? All right, I'm going to preach and just get on with the job. If I ramble, it's because of a distinct lack of sleep this week, but it's all good. I want to talk to you today, going into a new year, and encourage you about the God who fights our battles. You're all excited. Let's try that again. I want to talk to you this morning about the God who fights our battles. That's better. That's better. I was raised in Montreal when I was a little girl. I use my hands and I need feedback. That's good. That's good. Let's keep it up. So we're just going to get into it. The Old Testament saints knew the God who fought their battles. I love the Old Testament saints, and one of my plans this year is maybe as I'm talking is just get right back into the Old Testament and enjoy it. There are a few names that you can't pronounce. There's a few bloody, gory scenes that, but the Old Testament saints knew the God who fought their battles. And the interesting thing is, if God approved of them, even though they were outnumbered, they would win. If there was sin in the camp, if they were, even though they might have been greater than those they were fighting, they would lose. Because God was a God who was leading the Old Testament saints in such a way that they had to understand he was God and they were not. Now, I don't know about you, but there are times when I decide unknowingly that I'm God. Anybody else? I just need to tell the Lord how to operate. Now, listen, I know you're God, but I'm in this circumstance, and so you need to know what I'm seeing here, and you need to understand how to handle this. And I'm sure he looks up from heaven and says, yes, right. I got news for you, kiddo. I'm still God. You're not. But let me show you when the Lord has favor over his people. Joshua 10, 12 to 14. On the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel. On the day the Lord gave. I like that word. On the day the Lord gave your enemies over to you. Take a picture. On the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and you, moon, over the valley of Ayalon. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the nation avenged itself on its enemies, as it is written in the book of Yashar. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down for a full day. Sounds like the Northwest Territories. There has never been a day like it before or since. A day when the Lord listened to a human being. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. On the day the Lord gave the enemies to Israel, the sun stood still. Can you imagine being Joshua? Talk about nerve. Sun, don't move. Let's go out and try that this afternoon, see what happens. Moon, stand still. Why? Boy, I'd like to do that, right? And on that day, God gave Israel her enemies. It says, surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. Well, what happens when we have some victories? I don't know about you, but I get a little overconfident sometimes, get a little pompous. Same thing happened to Israel. And they were going off to fight a battle, but there had been sin in the camp, and this is what happened in Joshua 7. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth Aven, to the east of Bethel, and told them, go up and spy out the region. So the men went up and spied out Ai. When they returned to Joshua, they said, not all the army will have to go up against Ai. Send 2,000 or 3,000 men to take it. Now listen, and do not weary the whole army. We got God. We're good. For only a few people lived there. So about 3,000 went up, but they were routed by the men of Ai, who killed about 36 of them. They chased the Israelites from the city gate as far as the stone quarries and struck them down on the slopes. At this, the hearts of the people melted in fear and became like water. There's a difference between a confidence and knowing that God fights our battle for us and between being pompous and taking God for granted. Oh, we don't have to worry about it. God's got this. And see, the Israelites found that out because they were learning, as we are still learning today, God is God. He is holy, and he is God, and he is in his temple. But yet, he comes and dwells with us, his people. We are his temple. Can I tell you something? I never call the church meeting spot here. Now, don't shoot me. Just please, don't shoot me. I don't call this a sanctuary. I understand the context. I do understand. And if you call this a sanctuary, please call it the sanctuary. But when I read my Bible, it's your body and my body that is the sanctuary or the temple of the Holy Ghost. So to me, this is a lovely auditorium. And the sanctuary of God comes in. You are the people of God who are filled with the Spirit of God. This is a building. Now, if you have, you call it a sanctuary, please be blessed. But I'm just saying where I'm at, see? And the Israelites were learning that this God who had called them out of Egypt, and this God who had placed his favor upon them, was one to be respected and not taken for granted. They had taken the new land, but they still needed to know who God was. At the end of Joshua's life, he spoke to the people of Israel, and rather than read the whole chapter, I'm just going to read you certain parts. Joshua 23:3, "You yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you." Joshua 23:6, "Be very strong. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside to the right or to the left." Joshua 23:8, "But you are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have done until now." Joshua 23:10, "One of you routs 1,000 because the Lord your God fights for you, just as he promised." And Joshua 23:11, "So be very careful to love the Lord your God." Well, throughout history, God has demonstrated his power and his glory. Now, we don't fight physical battles now, other than the guys who are in the forces, but we're not going out fighting physical battles. We have friends who live close to us in the Gales, and they love to play games. They were in Ontario when we were back in the 80s. We were having our babies together in the same church, just kind of growing up in the Lord together, and then the Lord moved Anton and I and our family out here in 95, and just this past August, Dave and Gloria moved out about a minute from us. What fun to be reconnected again and enjoying each other and enjoying these years together. But they love to play games. And if you've never played the game Just One, you got to get a hold of it. It's a whole lot of fun. And so what it is, three or four people are giving hints and one person has to guess. It helps if everybody has the same hint. All right? It helps if everybody knows what the hint is. So this particular time, Dave and I were giving hints. The word was honey. Dave thought the word was Rambo. And so we're given these great hints, and I'm given these hints. You know, it's sweet and it's wonderful, and Dave is looking, yeah. And I'm looking like, Dave, what did you have for dinner? And, you know, it's tasty and it flows, and Dave goes, sure does. And the poor guy trying to guess is thinking, my God, what is wrong with these two? Well, when we finally got the word to him, Dave just about went under the table laughing because he had the wrong hint, he had the wrong thing. Dave was fighting a battle, and I was sweetening them up with honey. It was a sweet battle. Right? But we don't go out. We're not fighting physical battles, but we are fighting battles in the spirit. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. My father was a teenager during World War II, and they lived in England at the time. And he has some incredible stories about battles in the Second World War. He had to have underground shelters, you know, and the bomb warnings would come, and they would go underground. And this particular time, my dad and his family, they lived in what is called a semi, you know, two houses joined together. And the whole place, the whole neighborhood went underground, and my grandparents were praying and waiting, and the flight comes over, and you could hear stuff exploding all over from the German planes. And when it finally settled down, they all went back up. And this is where God shows his power. That neighborhood was flattened. The other side of my grandparents' semi was flattened, but my grandparents' home stood. And people would say, how is it God fought our battles for us? There was a time in the war when Winston Churchill said to the nation of England, pray, the Germans are coming. And there was a flood of German planes coming, just coming. They were going to obliterate England. And Churchill called the nation to pray, and they began to pray. Suddenly, those German planes turned around and went ripping back to Germany. Why? Why? Because of the flood of British planes that were coming at us, we couldn't win. There were no British planes. But God fought the battle for them. And what they saw turned them around, and God saved a nation. See, God will fight your battles for you. But what does he want from us? He demonstrates his power long before the world returned, was born. God demonstrates his power. And God demonstrates his power today and forever. You know, in Luke 10, 17 to 20, I love this verse. The 72 returned with joy and said to Jesus, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. He, Jesus, replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Back before the world was, God was demonstrating his power. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Now, this is what I want you to get. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. You see, you need to understand, God is in full authority. It was the plan of Satan not to displace God, but to be God. That was his plan. He was a gorgeous angelic being, and his plan somehow was, I need to be God. I need to be the one in charge. And at some point, and we don't have the account in the heavenlies, God must have said, no, out. And Jesus said, I saw him fall from heaven like lightning. But don't get hung up on the demons submitting to you. Get hung up on the fact that your names are written in heaven. Get hung up on the fact that God knows you. Get hung up on the fact that God is for you. See, I believe in the power of God. I believe in all of these things. I don't go around seeing devils in doorknobs. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If there's a spirit in the room that's from the enemy and me, one of us are leaving, and it's not me. I don't have time for the enemy. I don't have time for his stupidity. I don't have time for a defeated foe. I have time for a risen, glorious king. And it's about time, church, we stopped giving the enemy that kind of attention. He doesn't deserve it. See, my king is Lord of all. And if this stupid spirits and the stupid enemy wants to try to come against us, like, oh, shut up and get out. Really? Like, just shut up and get out. Well, I'm big and scary. No, Jesus is much bigger. You're defeated. Psst, get out. How do you know a fake $5 bill? You know it's fake only because you know the real thing. And if you know Jesus for who he is, then you won't have time for the fake stuff. The enemy tried to get a hold of Jesus in Matthew 4. And this is how Jesus responded to him. It was when Jesus was in the desert. He said, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. How does God fight your battles for you? He fights your battles as you see him. You choose what to see. I see Jesus, high and lifted up. I was in Colombia. Anton and I were in Colombia years ago at a revival that was going on there, Bogota, Colombia. The church there had, what was it, honey, about 350? I don't want to exaggerate. And you got assigned to which Sunday night you could go to the city stadium to have your church service. And so we were there as guests. They were having a big conference. And we were sitting in this big stadium, and I had this picture. I had this picture, and it's just come back to my mind. And I saw these little tiny sort of demonic characters, just little gremlins, I don't know, running everywhere. And then I saw this massive bulldozer coming in. And it was just scooping them up, and they were running in fear. And the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, Ann, that bulldozer is me. You're in me, and the demons are running for fear. If you got situations in your life that you're afraid of, you begin to put Jesus into those situations. If you've got things that are frightening you, you begin to put Jesus into those situations. You begin to speak the name of Jesus. You begin to say the name of Jesus. You begin to go after things, Jesus. Because the demons don't know your name, but they sure know him. You see, the enemy has many names. He's called the devil, a diabolus, the accuser. He's called the destroyer, the tempter, the evil one, the god of this world, a murderer, a liar, a serpent. But see, his end has been announced, Revelation 20:10. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur. My spell check. How many of you use spell check? This says burning soulful. Really, it's sulfur. Where the beast and the false prophet have been thrown, they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. His days of trying to torment us are going to reap what he sows. Do you know you reap what you sow? And he's in for it for eternity. Why? Because God is the victor. What does God desire of us? We often think we have to pray harder, fast longer, read more. We often think we have to run harder, we have to sacrifice bigger. If I just spent 4.5 hours in prayer today, if I just read the first 3 books of the New Testament tomorrow morning before I go to work, if I just fasted an extra 40 days like Jesus did in the temptation, if I just worked it, if I just really worked up my faith, if I just really got to a place where I could work up my faith, if I could just show God how much I believe. When the whole time God is saying, all I really want is for you to run into my arms. If I could just prove to you, God, I prayed and I fasted, and I need to work up a sweat when I worship. I need to just. See, my father was a pastor, and he was a great guy. I'm not biased in any way, but he was a great guy. And people would come up to my brothers and I and say, oh, it must be so wonderful to be Pastor David's daughter. Yes, it was. Not because of how he preached on a Sunday. I didn't care how he preached. In fact, I got sick of his preaching. I listened to him most of my life. I didn't care how he preached on a Sunday. That wasn't what it was. He was my dad. I appreciated the $20 in his wallet when I needed it. Praise God. I appreciated the hugs when he gave them. I appreciated the love that he gave me. This was my father who said to me at 5 years old, you are so beautiful now. When you're 17, you're going to be so incredibly beautiful that daddy's going to take you out for a special dinner. Nothing was ever said until my 17th birthday, and he looked at me and he said, honey, I was right. You're more than beautiful. Where can we go for our special date? See, his preaching held nothing, and he was a good preacher, but it held nothing to those love moments. It held nothing to those love moments. And it's the same thing with God. He's not looking for us to prove how wonderful we are. He knows we suck. Anton and I got one of those new, it's not a Christmas thing, but we bought one of those new robot, they're on the floor and they just go out. And it said you had to give your robot a vacuum a name. So Anton called it You Suck. So every morning when we're home at 9 o'clock, ding, I press the button and good old You Suck goes. And it keeps the house clean. It was a wonderful thing. Why didn't they invent those years ago? But see, sometimes we say to the Lord, you're not doing enough. You suck. So I'm going to prove that I can fight the battle and impress you. And God says, please be quiet. Please be quiet. I never had to prove to my parents that I was their child. They told me many times what a gift I was, and I hope you were raised that way. You don't have to prove to God that you're his child. If you get into his word, he'll tell you many times that he's redeemed you and that you're his. You don't have to prove to God that you're good enough. Listen, can I tell you something? When the Father sees you, he sees you through the blood of Jesus. And the only word, if I can put words into God's mouth, that comes out is this, perfect. Perfect. Why is it, ladies and gentlemen, we don't accept that? Somebody tell me. When the Father sees you, he sees you through Jesus, and he goes, boy, you're perfect. Oh, you're beautiful. Hey, you're redeemed. It's not you. It's the blood of Jesus. You are redeemed and perfect and paid for, and I am your father, and I love you. And we go, yeah, but. And he says, stop already. No, yeah, buts. When you say, yeah, but, you're telling me the blood of my son wasn't enough. It's more than enough. You are perfect. Praise God. And when we come into his throne, confident of his great love for us, we can walk into his throne. Father, Abba, Daddy, I know you're God of the universe, but I'm your child, and I can't wait to talk to you. I can't wait to give you what's on my heart. I can't wait to tell you my stories, and I can't wait to say, go get him, Dad. Knock him down. I never referred to my father as Reverend David Sturie. He would have said, get a grip. In their teenage years, our boys used to tease Anton, what did they call you? Father? They just, I mean, just, oh, Father. And he'd say, yes, offspring. Oh, Father. Get a grip. Get a grip. I sometimes think it's a vain attempt to impress our Father. Well, Anne, I don't have money. I don't have an education. I don't have status. My family is messed up. I wish God would fix my family. I wish God would listen to me and do what I ask him. But God is all the time saying, in my eyes, you have status, you're my child. In my eyes, you have all the riches of eternity with me, you're wealthy. In my eyes, you have perfection coming when you join me. This journey on earth is so short. I know it feels long, but this journey is so short. And someday when you see Jesus, you're going to look back on this journey and go, it was that much. And there's all of eternity. So rather than try to impress him, what do we do with this? He fights our battles. First of all, I want to encourage you in 2020, rehearse and remember God's greatness. Don't bring God down to your level. You come up to his. Look at Psalm 107, verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Hey, can I tell you what God did for me this week? Hey, do you know what the Lord's doing in my life? Hey, do you know what God's doing in my family? And sometimes when you tell your story, you're releasing the power of God to do things. We had friends years back, their son-in-law was not serving the Lord. They begged and begged the Lord, God, save him, our daughter, and begged and begged, God, save him. And one day the Lord spoke to this couple and said, would you be quiet and start thanking me instead? Within a week, he was saved, filled with the Spirit, and turned around. See, God knows, but it says, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. And remember, in Joshua said in 23:3, it was the Lord your God who fought for you. How many of you have had God fight battles and win? Come on, if God's fought a battle for you and win, stand up. Come on. We're not talking physical battles. We're just talking battles in your spirit. Now, turn around and take a look. Redeemed of the Lord, you're telling your story. Let's give the Lord a hand.
Don't stop now. He's God. Don't stop now. Come on. Come on. He's God. Come on. Don't stop now. Don't stop now. I'm not going to let you stop till you get it. Tell your story. Come on. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. We win. Come on. Come on. Give it. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Come on, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Secondly, be strong in the Lord. I love Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally then, be strong on your own. I'm probably preaching way too long here, but I'm having fun. Are you guys okay? All right. You can tell me if I'm too long, but I just get excited. I'm just thinking, yes, Mrs. Donkers, this is good. You need this year. One of my great goals is to be physically so fit that you look at me and you go, whoa. Right now, all you're going to find, and Christmas and a cruise are not helping.
to be strong. We used to have a saying back in Toronto, smart like streetcars, strong like bull. Well, I want to be strong like the bull, but not, you know, smart like the streetcar. The streetcars were all attached to wires. And every year I have this great goal. I'm just going to exercise and just like, and every year, so I'm proving to myself that I really cannot be strong in myself. And that's why Scripture doesn't say, be strong in yourself, because God knows that we suck on our own. So he says, be strong in the Lord and in his power. And that word in the Greek is endynamu, to be empowered, to be enabled, to increase in strength and be made strong. Do you remember in Joshua 23, verse 6, he said to the people, be very strong. See, being strong in the Lord takes a decision. I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. I believe you, Lord. I know, God, that you are God. The circumstances aren't going my way. How many of you have prayed for years and the circumstances still aren't going your way? And you go, Ann, this is really cute. You're just putting, you know, this is good. But if you, listen, the circumstances, let me give you Hebrews 11. It said, these all died talking about the saints, not having received the promises. Because God was preparing a better place. You may leave this planet not seeing every answer that God, your heart desires of God. But let me tell you something. Whether you're on this planet or whether you're gone, God hears the prayers of his people and he answers prayer. See, I pray for our children. I pray for our grandchildren. I pray for our great-grandchildren and every generation to come until Jesus returns. Now, Ann Donkers will leave this planet someday, and if the planet's still going hundreds of years from now, those members of my family, God is still answering my prayer. And I speak over my family. My great-grandfather from Norway asked the Lord that there would be a minister of the gospel in every generation. Do you know in every generation since then, there has been a full-on minister of the gospel in our family? And God is still answering his prayer. Pray big prayers because you're going to be strong in the Lord, not in your own might. Joshua said, come on, be strong in the Lord. And then he also said, be careful to obey. I like Acts 4:19, and this is when Peter and John in Acts chapter 3 went to the guy who was lame at the gate beautiful and said, listen, they were great evangelists. I have lipstick here. He said, listen, silver and gold have we none. Now, it's a little joke among pastors. Yes, silver and gold have we none. But what we do have, we give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And what happened? This guy who was over 40 years rose up and he walked and he went like crazy. And then the leaders pulled him in and said, you can't be doing those kinds of things. And Peter and John said to them in Acts 4:19, what is right in God's eyes, to listen or to obey you or to obey him? You be the judges. Be strong in the Lord and carefully obey what he says. And then I want you to hold fast. And I'm going to finish up. I think I've been talking too long. To hold fast, we have to be aware. I want you to see a slide of kelp. How many of you recognize kelp? How many of you get out in the ocean? You know what kelp looks like. Let me tell you about kelp. Instead of tree-like roots that extend into the substrate, kelp has anchors called, are you ready? Holdfasts, that grip onto rocky substrates. From the holdfasts, kelp plants grow towards the water's surface. What does Joshua say in 23, verse 8? But you are to hold fast to the Lord your God. Isn't that great? The kelp knows enough to hold fast. And that's what we're to do in the Lord our God. We're to hold fast. And then lastly, we're to stay alert. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Listen, Joshua 23:10 says, one of you routs 1,000 because the Lord your God fights for you. The battle that God fought for you and already won was the battle that he fought on the cross. Remember I told you on Christmas Eve, Revelation 2:20, I'm the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. And he says in that verse, and I hold the keys to Hades and death. And I told you Christmas Eve, the devil doesn't even own the keys to his own front door. And when you don't own the keys to your own front door, you can have the most beautiful house on the planet, but it's not much use. Jesus has all authority, and Jesus fights our battles. Yes? I'm going to challenge you, Comox Pentecostal, with Anton and I. Let's live like it. Amen? Stand with me. I've taken my time this morning, but the first 10 minutes, come on, I was just telling you our story. Come on. You're quiet this morning. I think you're like me. You're a little bit sleepy. But I want you to understand there is nothing that you will face in 2020 that God is not able to handle. And I'm believing the Lord for an incredible year for 2020. Anton and I pray coming up in the mornings. We came up this morning from Ladysmith. We're going back home after the service, but we just came up for the morning service. And Anton said, honey, let's pray. And we do this every Sunday morning. Whatever church we're going to, we just pray. And this morning, we were surrendering ourselves again to the Lord for 2020. I don't know what God is going to do in 2020. I don't know what the Lord's going to do, but I do know 2020 is going to be an incredible year. Why? Because God is in it. God is in it. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up here, and I'm going to do something that maybe you have never done before. And if you're not comfortable doing this, there's never any pressure. But those of you who are church, I want us to gather right around the front here. Come on forward. Come on. How come I have to be up here all by myself? Come on. Just gather in. Just come and gather in. Come on, we'll wait from you for you from the balcony. If you're not comfortable, it's okay. See, it's so good to gather in together. Just press forward. Keep pressing forward. Come on forward. Come on forward. Come on. Let everybody come down. We're gonna start to get into 2020. And those of you who are stayed seated, God bless you, that's fine. Just be part of this. But I find sometimes it's really important that the body be close together. That you know what? United we stand, right? How many of you remember that great song from the 70s? Praise God. Divided we fall, and if our backs should ever be against the wall. See, it's important that we stand united. And what I'm having you today is I'm having you make a statement in the spirit. And some of you may be saying, oh, this is crazy. Who is this wacky woman? I'm going to get wackier, so hang tight. But I'm having you make a statement in the spirit. And here's the statement we're making in the spirit. At Comox Pentecostal Church, we are standing together. We are strong in the Lord. God fights our battles and bring 2020 on. What miracles is God going to do in 2020 in Comox Pentecostal Church? Come on, what miracles is God going to do in your family this year? What miracles? Come on, what's God going to do for you? How is God going to show his power to you this year? How are you going to begin to see Jesus different this year? How are you going to begin to know his presence different this year? What is God going to do in your life? How many of you need healing? How is God going to touch you this year? How many of you have wayward children? God can bring them home. How many of you have financial situations? Is God not able? The scripture says he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. If he just needs to sell one of those cows, and you're looked after for life. Right? What is God going to do for you this year? But see, what God wants from us is this. Just simply to look at him and say, I'm yours. Father, here's Comox Pentecostal on the in-between Sunday. Here we are, Jesus. Holy Spirit, here we are. And you know what? We don't have to shout to bring you down. Oh my goodness, we don't have to impress you. We don't have to fast and pray for 40 days. We are going to have a week of prayer when Anton and I are back. But Father, it's not out of impressing. It's out of sheer love. Spirit of God, we're standing shoulder to shoulder, so to speak. Arm in arm, Spirit of God. And as one, we're saying to you, Bring on the new year. Bring it on, Holy Spirit. We're yours. Jesus, I pray right now for everybody standing and sitting in this auditorium that you will fill them with your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, start to wave amongst us right now. Fill us up to overflowing. Strengthen us, Holy Spirit. Lift us to higher places in you. Lord, as we're in your word and as we worship, our faith will increase. We want to be people who leak Jesus. Do you know what? I just feel the presence of God so sweet. Spirit of God, touch them now. Leadership team, just lead us in a song. I'm just going to lay hands on some folks and pray. Some of you may come from different backgrounds. I guess you'd call this a good Pentecostal altar call. I don't care what you call it. I'm just following what the Lord says. Let's sing together and let me go and pray for a minute. Your battles for you, and that you can rest in him. And so as you go and do this week and get ready to celebrate New Year's Day, regardless of your circumstances, look at Jesus. See him for who he is, mighty Redeemer, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, who said, I will not leave you as orphans, but I will send you the Holy Spirit. You are an empowered people. You are a redeemed people. You are a strong people in the Lord. Now listen to me. You are intelligent people. You are anointed people. You are called people. You are loved people. You are eternity with Jesus people. And if you have never accepted Jesus, right now, pray with me, Lord Jesus. I want everything that's been spoken about this morning. Forgive me of my sin and come into my life. I give my life to you. Amen. People of God, Happy New Year. You're the very best. I love you. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.